Get ready to laugh your ass off.
I'm ashamed God made me a man.
I don't think God's doing a lot of bragging about it either.
What's happening, Captain?
We gotta come into that ending a little better.
That's like hitting a brick wall.
I know. It's Denise from the Lesbian Lounge, courtesy of MyLesbianRadio.com. It's been quite a while. I know. I apologize. I don't even have an excuse. I really don't have an excuse other than, for me, it's just hard to compose my thoughts and actually speak about them when it feels like doom and gloom all over the place, like worldwide. I keep thinking of all the things that I want to say, what's upsetting me, what's bothering me, and instead I end up turning to my blog, AmericanLesInLondon.blogspot.com, or I blast a bunch of tweets on Twitter, or I pick a video or an article to post on Facebook, normally like with regards to how I'm feeling, because it's easier, I guess, than opening up on a podcast and worrying about once I get started, I'll never stop. So anyway, I thought maybe I would just drop in and update everyone on life here in the SM6 over here in London. Since I last did an actual podcast, a lot has gone on. None of it good, really. We had the Orlando attack, which hurt everyone to the core for days on end. It wasn't until I started seeing our worldwide LGBT communities coming together and rallying and lifting up the lost and brokenhearted, really. It shouldn't have to take something so tragic to get that kind of support, but I'm thankful and I'm grateful that it was there and it was given so graciously. We had the Brexit vote over here in England, and although most of my listeners are stateside and probably don't know what that's all about or the effect it'll have or what happened, it was a crappy thing that happened. And guess what? There's no backseas, man. And this is why I can't stress enough that it's really important to know your shit when you have to vote on something important like a referendum or, oh, I don't know, the election in America come November. So be careful, because it is starting to look a lot like the Brexit thing over there in the US. And here's why. After months of the Leave voters over here in England campaigning, much like Trump and the Republicans, with their fear-mongering and tapping into that inherent, quiet, underlying racism with regards to immigrants and terrorism and boasting about how great England will be when they get to stand on their own, apart from the EU, how they'll thrive, how they'll not be restrained or advised, how their pensions and healthcare and financial and housing markets will be better off without the handouts given to them by the EU, or having their independence will be so rewarding. Nigel Farage and his cronies targeted the over 55 demographic, and they filled them with empty promises and tapped into their fears. And oh, how they listened. just like the asshat Trump situation, everyone was saying, you know, it'll never happen. We'll never vote to leave. Well, guess what? It happened. Surprise, surprise. The Leave voters won by just like 2%. I mean, it really came down to something like 49 to 51. Something that close. I don't know the exact numbers, but it was that close, and that's scary. And immediately following the election results, the most Googled topic was, what is Brexit? A little late, right? I mean, seriously, there were young adults, some first-time voters, actually, who actually went on the news and admitted that they didn't even know what they were voting for. But they voted Leave because it seemed like a good idea, and they felt that things weren't working here at the time, so why not? Some even said that they didn't think it would actually happen. Some said they just listened to their dads or their grandfathers. And some said that they wished that they could change their vote because after researching the whole thing too late, they now see that it was a mistake. But basically, now England is out there on their own. No help, no assistance from the EU. The Prime Minister resigned. Another one was just simply appointed with no vote, but from the winning party. The financial market fell. No signs of stability in the single market. Housing prices are likely to fall. The pound plummeted. The borders will be tightened, if not closed, meaning that immigrants who fled to England when the borders were open and lived an honest, hard-working life, contributed to the economy, raised families, had opportunities they would never have in their homelands, those people could be sent back. Yeah, they could be sent back. And racism started free-flowing in the streets as people of like other ethnicities, they were shouted at and they had garbage thrown at them on trains and buses. And we're talking like Muslims, Asians, Polish people, people who are like your neighbors, business owners, people who've helped you as doctors, as your pet's veterinarians, your postman, your florist, your grocer. Because the UK is a melting pot of nationalities. And it wasn't a big deal until this Brexit thing happened. And it really did bring out the ugliness in communities. And trust me, it wasn't pretty. I mean, since then, things have calmed down because I think the country is now more focused on trying to figure out what happens next. Because there was no game plan. There was no strategy in place. It was all empty promises. And now that it's happened, nobody quite knows what's going to go on. But you know what? Like I said before, no backsies. There won't be a recount. There won't be another referendum vote that was widely speculated, but it's not going to happen. It's done. And the EU is just like, there's the door. Don't come back. So the cultural climate has changed, and maybe it's been slowly changing, but now, make no mistake, it's changed. And listen, I don't want to waste a lot of time on what a sheer dick-faced motherfucker Donald Trump is. All I'm saying is that you guys better really dig down into your souls when it comes time to vote and make certain that you're sure about what you're looking for in our next president. And more importantly, why you're looking for it. You have daughters, you have wives, you have sisters, you have families who are going to be affected by our next president. And I say our next president because I may live over here, but I'm still a U.S. citizen and I'm voting by mail. I mean, this is too important to just leave. I have already applied. I've got my confirmation email. A ballot will be sent to me. I've got my dates that it has to be mailed back. I'm good to go. I've had a ton of conversations lately with friends in the States who say that they've had enough of Obama. They want change. They want homeless vets taken care of. They want stronger action against radical Islam. They want their Second Amendment rights protected. They want a better economy. They don't trust Hillary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I say to them, like, I hope you're aware that Obama wanted those same things too and was blocked by the GOP every time he tried to take a positive step for the country. Like, they don't get that. I guess my worry is that people saying that they want someone who's not a career politician in office because it's time to shake things up, they don't get how politics works. They think it's really that easy just to shake things up. It's gonna work out for the best. They're backing someone who gets called out for every lie he tells because they're beyond listening to any logic and reasoning. And that's due to their own frustration. And I get that. But I also, I guess, over here, being an outsider looking in, I see what's happening here. And I feel like Donald Trump does too, and he's found his niche. It's the very frustration. That's what's keeping people from understanding that a world leader needs to have some knowledge on foreign policy, some knowledge on classified intelligence, some knowledge on the processes of the Senate and Congress, some kind of political experience in order to move the country forward and create some positive change in the laws, both on local and state levels. It's not just about scaring other countries with big talk and empty promises, because look where that got England. So I'm not trying to tell you who to vote for. I'm just telling you to vote with forward thinking in mind and not by the fear and frustrations that the media and the GOP is inflating in your mind to keep you in a constant state of upset. We all see what's happened in Syria. We all see what's happening in the Middle East. We all see refugees fleeing from ISIS. We see the attacks that happened in Belgium and Brussels, Paris, Nice and France, Germany, Bangladesh, Turkey. We see it. We see it every time we see it and read something, though, especially anything new. It brings the fears, our fears, to the surface because we're worried it'll happen to us. And it takes over our logical brain, and that's normal. But we still have to get our facts in order and know that one act, one person, and one idea isn't going to make it all go away. It's going to take solid strategies, planning, action, patience, new levels of counterterrorism, people who have the same vision and understanding working together. So Trump isn't going to make anything disappear with his walls and his racist vetting processes. Hillary isn't going to make it disappear in a day, but vote for the person who has the capacity to get change started and the vision and the people to carry it out. Because the reality is, it's the long game, people. With big strides and a cohesive party, the possibility is there. Like, let's not forget all the other things at stake here: reforming healthcare, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, education, taxes, big pharma, gun control, mental health funding, homelessness, vaccinations, the justice system, fracking, TPP, disabled people's rights, global warming, climate control, marijuana laws. I mean, know where your candidates stand on all the issues, not just the ones that play out in the media. I hear the argument that neither candidate is a good choice. And to that I say, well, you know what? You got options, so quit crying about it. Do some research on Governor Gary Johnson. You know, do something. The way I see it is that we can either have a ruler or a leader, and I don't want to be ruled. I want to be led. So basically, that's my take on politics right now. Let's get to what the show's always about. Our LGBT front. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot that's been on my radar, so let's just jump in. I just saw recently that VP Joe Biden married two gay staffers in his home, and that gave me all the feels. I read an article on how Pulse Nightclub is going to become a memorial for the 49 lives lost in June, and I think that's fantastic. I saw the first trans woman speak at the DNC. I've seen some amazing queer athletes getting ready for the Olympics in Rio, or what I like to call the Shitwater Games of 2016. I've read about how the U.S. women's soccer team is suing for equal pay, and I think that's fantastic. I've seen that Kristen Stewart has opened up about her girlfriend in Elle magazine, all positive steps. Earlier than that, I watched all of Orange is the New Black and cried like a baby. I was so affected. Like, I don't know if you guys were, but I felt like I was just so affected by the whole season. The whole season was just emotional and memorable, I guess. It had a big impact. I've seen Ghostbusters, and I cheered for them and what the movie stood for, and I am loving the recognition that Kate McKinnon is deservedly getting. I'm also loving the new Chelsea series on Netflix. I also saw the Broadway Voices come together on stage at the DNC, and that was fantastic. I've heard the Hands song that was put out on iTunes to benefit the Pulse Fund, though I think it's called One Pulse. And after 5 years on Twitter, guess what? Rosie O'Donnell finally following me. Yeah. It's been a couple of months of ups and downs. I got to see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child in the West End, and although I'm not the Potterhead of the family. I absolutely loved it. I will admit to not having read or seen all movies, all in succession, read all the books, nothing. I've seen bits, pieces, parts. I've seen the first movie, maybe the second or third, and the last one, but I was totally able to follow along. And it wasn't just that I was able to follow along. Being a theater junkie, I was mesmerized by what they were doing on stage. Fire, water, magic. Ugh, I really can't stress enough. If you are in London, especially right now, that our currency is at a rate where you could probably afford to come, I highly recommend it, and I'm so thrilled that it's been extended through 2017 already. So that's good news. This summer, I also skipped Elfest for the first time in 5 years, and I'm okay with that. Personally, I feel like maybe the festival itself has gone into a different direction, and that's fine. I didn't feel a massive void. I was happy to see some of the pictures and stuff on Facebook. I didn't follow along too closely, but I'm okay with it. It was weird, but I'm okay with it. I'm super happy that Apple announced it's finally releasing a rainbow flag emoji. I can't imagine how much we will use that. I'm very pleased that SheWired is still putting out lesbian content and articles like 45 of the most unbelievable outfits on the L Word. I'm super thrilled that Sharon Gless was all over the place for a while there. She was in episode 100 of Rizzoli and Isles and on the stage with Tyne Daly. As I mentioned in the DNC Broadway Voices Together, that was really cool to see. I'm also really happy for Fortune Feimster's success in the Mindy Project, and on a personal level with her girlfriend Jackie, they seem very happy. And I'm always it just warms my cockles. I've seen on Facebook and on Twitter, it was announced that Diva Magazine will now have new owners, Silke Bader and Linda Riley. Also, the magazine has got some new contributors, including Heather Peast and Vicky Beeching. So that's pretty cool. On a more personal level, I've sent in my first round of edits on my book. It's off to the editor, step in the right direction. And my wife has recently mastered the pot brownie. And I keep getting to produce really cool LGBT podcasts for you, like Ragtime, featuring Heather and Nicole, where they pretty much unleash on things that are going on in the headlines. I love the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Still getting a fantastic response, featuring authors of lesbian fiction. Good stuff, always. And also, I've done a couple of shows now for Funny Business, the Women of Stand-Up Comedy, which recently featured Suzanne Westenhofer, Jenny McNulty, and Vicky Shaw. So it's all good, people. I may not be putting out a bunch of Lesbian Lounge shows, but I'm still here. And big shout-outs to Lori Collins as she embarks on being a first-time homeowner, to G Monk over here in the UK for her bravery always, to 4 for JJ's for always hanging in there, to Joe Schmooze for moving on, to J-Ro, who's always around for a laugh or a catch-up on Facebook Messenger, and to Deb, Donna, and Vic for keeping me posted on their lives, and Andrew Benintendi's baseball career. And to all of you who support and listen to the new shows, I thank you. That's really about it from over here across the pond. I will see my Florida peeps in December. And until then, I will see you UKers at Brighton Pride this weekend. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Lesbian Lounge and be sure that you are subscribed to my Lesbian Radio RSS feed for all the latest shows and uploads. I guess that's it. See you later. Bye-bye.
Down. He's down. We don't need another meadow.